listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
This is the alternative media, exposing government corruption, defending our suspended constitution, demanding the rights of we the people, broadcasting the truth. The puppet media dare not report. Long live liberty and death to the new world order. Prepare yourself. This is the alternative media.
Good morning, folks, and welcome to your Saturday morning broadcast. This is the Alternative Media. I'm going to be your guest host for today, filling in for Farron Showoff, Richard Carey. And Farron, again, has some things he had to attend to, and he's going to be back, folks. He's not going anywhere. I'm keeping the seat warm for him. Make sure that you folks will still be ready to get his excellent broadcasts transmitted as soon as he's able to. Once again, I do a show Monday through Friday at noon on RBN called Beyond the Official Narrative. I've been doing it since August. Before that, I've been a host for about 4 or 5 years now on some other platforms, but I've always been a big fan of Farron's show. So it's some pretty worthy shoes to fill, as it were. Certainly glad that I got a good bit of feedback from last week. But Farron is definitely among, if not my favorite show. You know, I always look forward to starting my Saturday with all his perspectives, news, and it's really crazy. I mean, the amount that the propaganda is exponentially increasing lately. It's kind of hard to keep up, you know, and some people just, they tune out because it's just too much to process. And of course, we have a lot of people who are just in denial about the lockdowns, in denial about state of the nation. When you look at the last election being completely rigged, fraudulent results, topping anything we've seen in this country in the past, I mean, now we have this push for these genetic experimental therapies, with these lockdowns trying to persist with more mutations out there. You know, there's one that's supposedly 18 mutations in one. I saw it in an article. They were claiming that's from Brazil. And they're saying double mutant strains, this and that. Anything they can do to keep you indoors, basically. You know, the UK is struggling right now, Germany as well, to convince people that you still have to be afraid. Yes, we are still able to justify these lockdowns. It's just unbelievable. And then, of course, it was a great distraction from the lockdowns to have BLM rampage with riots all last summer. And now it's perfect timing to get that up and going again. The weather's nice enough for people to want to get out, getting a little tired of the PCR test lockdown. Well, it's a good time to bring out the second summer of BLM, right? Of course, you can't spread COVID if you're an activist for BLM at the moment. That's an important scientific fact Fauci keeps forgetting to make clear. But, you know, even Bill Gates, who's amazingly in control of the funding of so many of these organizations, these health organizations people obliviously trust, you know, ignorantly trust, that are not compromised, you know, that are impartial. And Bill Gates, of course, is a madman. I mean, it's pretty clear when you look at his past. He's talking about depopulation for so very long. And he's into the social engineering these days, you know. I mean, Bill Gates is funding a lot of the organizations pushing critical race theory, math is racist, and all of this. I was noticing some stories at Campus Reform talking about his connection with that. Of course, Microsoft would never have been successful if they hired computer programmers who didn't do well in their mathematics classes. So it's just absurd. It just shows how, you know, these people want to destroy the society they required to get where they are in this day and age. And it's a sign of the coming push for totalitarianism, you know? Of course, there's a lot of social engineering going on. We have the Derek Chauvin, the officer who's being charged with murder of George Floyd, and got some updates to mention on that trial a bit later. And, you know, some false flag racial incidents, notice as usual out there. It was a recent shooting. But, you know, I thought I would try something a bit different as well today, folks. I had Stephen Douglas Whitener on with me last week. But, you know, I know a lot of the listeners around here have appreciated Stormfront as well. And I've always appreciated the full panel discussion of Stormfront. I've done some roundtables myself, and I figured, hey, maybe I could, you know, maybe I could scrape up a little posse for this Saturday. And as fate would have it, I was pretty successful at that. So I have a panel of co-hosts joining me for their input, perspectives, and views today, folks. I have Stephen Douglas Whitener, my co-host from Fridays on Beyond the Official Narrative, here with me first. Stephen, hello.
Hello, Richard. Hello, everyone.
Hey, good to have you here, Stephen. Hope you're ready to enjoy the weekend. Mm-hmm. You're doing well so far today.
Yeah, I'm up and at them. Nice. I enjoyed doing this with you last week. I really appreciate Farron's show as well. I wish him well. And thanks for letting me fill in here, be part of this, and looking forward to this. Yeah. We have the Revision Media Posse today. Yeah, that's
great. Yeah, and I know that you, well, you've, like you say, always appreciated Farron's show, listened yourself a bit. And, of course, like I said last week, you're both Carolinians. You know, he's North Carolina, you're South Carolina. So,
yep.
You know, we have a little bit of that local flavor still here while we're taking over the helm.
You got Trevor Lawrence joining the Carolina. Is it Carolina or you've got... No, it was the guy from the Jets, wasn't it? Sam Darnold. He's heading up to Carolina, isn't he? Stephen?
Not sure. I'm in South Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah, and y'all save the Dixie Cups. The South will rise again.
Yeah, Farron's in North Carolina, and Stephen, yeah, you're in South Carolina there. And then I have my Monday co-host, from Beyond the Official Narrative, here with me today as well, an Irishman residing in London, well, just outside London currently, Paul Edward Stevenson. Hello, Paul.
Hey, Richard. Great to be with you. Thanks for having me on, and it's great to join the esteemed panel here today.
Yeah, indeed. And it's always nice to get a perspective from across the pond as well, Paul.
Indeed. It's always,
and then I do...
always so much to be positive about across the pond.
We should definitely touch on that. Oh, and then I do have another gentleman here with us. He's a host from my platform, Revision Media, William Rapillum. Hello, William.
Hello, Richard. Honored to be here.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm glad you could make it. Yeah, thanks for being here this at this hour on a Saturday, and I hope you're enjoying your weekend so far.
I am. I got my first cup of coffee.
Excellent. All right. Well, that's the important thing, right? So I'm wondering where to begin today. I mean, we have the Derek Chauvin trial. Is that Chauvin? Is that how you say it? But then we had this shooting incident just on Friday at FedEx. 8 people shot. I'm wondering, is there an agenda this can serve or not? So far, I mean, of course, there's no reason to just say false flag. Oh, it must be a false flag, you know. But they're finally saying a name, Brandon Scott Hole. And I don't know, have any of you have been keeping up with this at all since
I did hear that the FBI was warned about this man by people who were close to him that he was going to become violent. They investigated, closed the case, and of course, you know, the rest. How many times does that happen, that the Federal Bureau of Investigation is involved with these shootings beforehand and during? It's very suspicious to me. That's why people assume it's a false flag, because it happens so often that the FBI is involved and then, boom, some terror attack goes on. It looks very suspicious. I don't know enough to say, yeah, this was a false flag, because it really did look like the people were distraught and there were people killed, but just because people died doesn't mean that it wasn't, manufactured incident. I would suspect it was just the timing was just too perfect for that to distract from the trial and everything else that's going on. So,
exactly. I mean, because that there was that country and western festival like a year or two ago where there were a lot of people killed, but I still was suspicious that there was grooming involved from federal agencies and the Federal Bureau of Instigation. I like that, Stephen.
That sums it up pretty well as to what they do. Even Charlottesville, you know, they were involved with that. And when Charlottesville happened, there was someone who had been basically set up and entrapped out in the Midwest somewhere. It was someone who was schizophrenic. They always prey on people who have mental illness, it seems, and then manipulate them, MK Ultra them into committing these crimes. And oftentimes the FBI will step in right before they happen to appear the hero, but I believe that they definitely let some of them go. Another one would be the first World Trade Center bombing that the FBI was very much involved in. One of the people who were undercover for the FBI made audio recordings that proved the involvement they had afterwards. And I forgot that man's name. I have seen him interviewed before. Middle Eastern. I don't know his particular ethnicity or nationality, but he made video of the mixing the bombs, and then he made audio tapes talking to his FBI handler, telling them what was happening, and they said go ahead with the bombing. You know, they should be under the jail for that. There's proof that the FBI was involved in that terror attack, but no one has been held accountable, just as per usual in 2021 America. You know, there's a different law for them and us, so yeah.
Right.
That's happening.
Oh, and I think I missed stating the date again at the start. You know, a little out of sync with it not being my normal show introduction for my show. But yeah, it is Saturday, April 17, 2021, if I missed that. Yeah, the only thing suspicious in the way it's being presented is just some of the terminology, perhaps. Like, I see a FedEx employee, Jeremiah Miller, told the outlet with this quote, the way he saw things unfold. Quote, I saw a man with a submachine gun of some sort, an automatic rifle, and he was firing in the open, unquote. It's a submachine gun, you know, almost like saying assault rifle, you know, so it's certainly, potential for shock terminology. But yeah, we haven't seen this spun. I haven't heard anything about the race of the person. I don't even know if this is a FedEx employee himself, the shooter. Did you hear anything about that?
I don't know that.
Okay.
I assume it was because they warned about him ahead of time. So.
And then we have this trial, as I mentioned, Derek Chauvin murder trial of George Floyd. We have incidents already of them leading the witness. For example, the past week or two, I mean, there was also a lot of debate over, just because someone was looking at footage, who's supposedly a respiratory expert, he's saying, okay, that's the moment where George Floyd took his last breath, that he died. And three times the lethal dose of fentanyl and methamphetamine, that had nothing to do with it. He was already going to be dead regardless, but they were, he was trying to, this person's testimony was trying to shift things quite a bit by claiming that, oh no, he definitely died right at that moment, and they couldn't see any marks or damage on the neck or lungs, I mean neck or shoulder areas or anything to indicate, to back up like extreme asphyxiation or anything. And then there was, like I said, leading the witness, let's see, there was one gentleman who was on the stand And when he was being examined, they had he had first stated that he had heard, "I took too many drugs," you know, something to that effect from George Floyd. And then the lawyer, I suppose it was in the case, had said, "No, I don't know if that's what you heard. You say, I had any drugs," or something to that effect. And he was like, "Oh, yeah, okay, I guess maybe that's what I heard," you know, just kind of being pretty nonchalant about it and allowing himself to be, you know, to be groomed. And so now we have the actual defense, Derek Chauvin himself, the defense saying that he's going to invoke the Fifth Amendment. He won't testify at his murder trial, whereas it could potentially incriminate him. And in this case, I suspect that that's probably a good idea. Do we still have Mr. Stevenson here? Adam, have you been following this much overseas there, Paul? Derek Chauvin, George Floyd, and now the trial of the officer?
Yeah, a little bit. I've been really, really busy with work recently. But yeah, I mean, from what I've seen, he's been thrown under the bus. You know, it's so politicized. It's so, you know, emotionally driven. That I don't think that, you know, from what I witnessed, the guy hasn't got a fair shot there. The legal system is compromised massively, you know, and it's kind of really concerning, you know.
Yeah, and it's already been used, exploited so much. I mean, although George Floyd wasn't the person who started the whole Black Lives Matter movement, that wasn't the incident that started it. It certainly was the one that gave it plenty of fuel last year at the perfect timing. You know, I mean, we wouldn't have Biden in the White House if it weren't for the Black Lives Matter riots and the lockdowns. I mean, really.
Well, if you're a white, yeah.
You know. I don't know about the, you know, it's questionable about the BLM having a factor on the presidency. Certainly, the lockdowns, though, is the only reason, with the mail-in absentee voting, that they were able to pull off what they were able to. I think, though, that it was a huge distraction for people. Just pushing against the lockdowns before last summer would have even ended if it weren't for, you know, all these riots. Paul?
Yeah, and you know, what has stealing and looting and destroying people's businesses got to do with racial justice or racial injustice? And if you're a white policeman in a dense black populated area, I mean, disproportionately, you know, black people commit, you know, way more violent sexual crime than other demographics. Groups, you know, so what are you supposed to do? Just stop policing the group that commits most of the crime? Because that's where it's going to head. If you're a white cop, you're going to have some self-preservation here, because if you happen to, you know, kill a black guy in the line of duty, you're just immediately, you are in the public, you know, court, are going to be designated as a racist. It's as simple as that, and the whole thing's going to be so politicized. The same with this new guy. Turns out the woman, shot him with, she thought he was, she was using a taser. And so it's a simple mistake. But again, I mean, the whole thing is just, you know, they're all going crazy. It's all about racial injustice. The black community never want to take any responsibility. At the end of the day, the guy put himself in that position. George Floyd put himself in that position. He put himself in a vulnerable position, but that's just all ignored. It's all completely irrelevant.
Yeah, I noticed that officer, lady officer, already resigned. She was probably already just blown away by all the rioting two nights that she helped to spark. Although I wouldn't think she should feel. I mean, yeah, it seemed like it was an honest mistake, and this is someone that didn't.
Yeah, and the guy resisted arrest. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a warrant out for him. He resisted arrest. If he didn't resist arrest, right, she wouldn't have, you know, done anything. So,
I know,
I
this
mean,
whole narrative that black people are supposed to be able to resist arrest, run away, and you can't shoot at them. You know, that's the new norm, you know. Well, no, Black Lives Matter, so, you know, you shouldn't be able to. You know, it must just be because I'm black. You know, that's the only reason. Never mind the warrant that's out for me. That warrant is only out for me because I'm black, obviously. So that's racist. So you should.
Yeah, there's never been a better time to be. There's never been a better time to be black. That's the irony. You know, they lower the threshold for you to get into universities. You can commit all the crime you want.
Oh, well. We already have this first break. That just flew by. We'll be right back, folks. Stick around.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile oxysilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
You know I'm a dreamer, but my heart's a gold. I had a runaway high, so I wouldn't come home low. Just wait.
And we're back, folks. You're listening to The Alternative Media on RBN. I'm your guest host, Richard Carey, filling in for Farron Showoff. And you know, we were just talking about the double standards, and namely this George Floyd trial and the energy for divisiveness, as you might say, that it's sparked. We have this most recent Minneapolis incident shooting a man running away who was being stopped because of a warrant. And, of course, we had two nights of riots. I noticed a CNN film crew had been attacked, and they just tried to completely ignore it, you know, of course, because they're not going to be making it known to their viewership that this thing happened. So it was just completely ignored, and They, well, they were hit with a frozen water bottle and then some just other violent attacks. The whole crew had to just suddenly rush away from the scene. And yet they're still trying to insist that, you know, these were peaceful, peaceful protests in Minneapolis those 2 nights. Biden.
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, but Biden is supposedly going to have his first speech that everyone's wondering why he hasn't spoken to anyone yet. But, you know, this critical race theory, that's something that he put back in place, which Trump had removed. And it's just the perfect time for another wave of anti-white rhetoric in the wake of the George Floyd trial. Paul, I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, I actually saw a very short clip last night, now that you mentioned CNN, of some black fella, condemning one of their guys for making the whole thing worse and escalating the whole thing, you know. So, I mean, there are black people out there who are aware that, you know, they're being played, that they're sort of political, you know, collateral and all of this. It's not a simple situation, really, you know. But you've got that genuine danger for like race wars to kick off, but then you've also got, you know, you've got some black people who are aware of what's going on and don't appreciate it, you know. So I mean, it's a complex situation, you know.
And we haven't heard from William Repillum. I don't know. Did you want to give your two cents about the racial atmosphere?
Yeah, I just want to add to Paul's point about blacks being played. I think it goes quite a bit deeper than that. I think that blacks are just, you know, ever since the civil rights movement, it was just rebranded. We've all discovered, I know me fairly recently, that the civil rights movement was nothing but rebranded slavery. I mean, just look at the result of what's happening to black people. It used to be strong families, and everybody used to be strong families, and we're all really slaves to these Jews. Now it's just turned up on, I mean, just like rampantly. Black Lives Matter is absolutely slavery 2.0, and they're just using black people. You know, and I see articles from, you know, different, you know, corporations where their employees are, you know, putting their arms around their other black people. You know, like, it's so humiliating to them, I think, because they're trying to say, oh, these are weak people and we're propping them up and we're doing our duty as white people here to, you know, prop up black people. And it's just like, well, why do they need that? They don't need that from you. They should be able to just stand on their own. And it's just absolutely humiliating. And I think that a lot of black people are aware of this, but a lot more need to become aware of it. And the psychological operation that has been dispensed on, you know, the entire world at this point has metastasized to a level that is just it's just hard to even quantify. So we're just gonna, in a way, just see how things play out and try to protect ourselves and guard against what's coming, because it's a train coming at us at such a high velocity. So. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to think of what we got to do to, we have to keep discussing what we have to do, our strategy for how we're going to survive what's coming.
Oh, that's an excellent point. It looks like we have the bottom of the hour break upon us right now. But yeah, I'd love to hear anyone else's feedback on that as well once we return here. And I know this is the first time you gentlemen have been on the air together. William and Paul, you've both been broadcasting on my platform, Revision Media, for a while, but you've never had a chance to interact. So I'm glad to give that opportunity today as well. All right, folks, well, we'll be right back in later in hour number two. We will be taking your calls. Stick around. The Alternative Media, Richard Carey filling in for Farron Shoaff. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Skies. But you were young and bold, and baby, didn't that change with a wink of your eye? Now no one's talking about those crazy days gone by. No one talks about the times you cried.
We're back, folks, here on RBN, the alternative media. Richard Carey filling in for Farron Showoff. And, William was just mentioning the infiltration from Jewish sources as well with the racial divisiveness. And, of course, the black population is being weaponized. You see it a lot at the universities in particular to find anything they can to create a claim of racial injustice, you know, to spark revolution, right? You know, right out of Karl Marx and Saul Alinsky playbooks very often, for that matter. But, you know, once again, I noticed a story of this was out of Campus Reform. KKK and white power graffiti were found on campus. Of course, with the you know, with the George Floyd, Derek Chauvin trial, and then this other shooting in Minneapolis occurring, perfect timing. And of course, Biden putting back in place critical race theory for corporations and universities to lap up, which Trump halted, which is very anti-white, very racist and hypocritical. So, yeah, we had all this KKK white power graffiti on this campus in Albion College, Michigan. And wouldn't you know it, I mean, the graffiti, of course, sent hundreds of students into boycotts and protests. But wouldn't you know it, it turned out when they investigated, it was done by a black student. Damn, you know, and that really could help things get cooking.
Yeah, it's a bit like the swastikas. You know, a few years ago, they found some Jew painting swastikas on some doors or something, you know, so they were...
And in cemeteries, and in Jewish cemeteries, I've heard of.
Yeah, know, yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, so, you know... Then you know the narrative. I mean, I saw an interesting clip on. There's a reasonably sort of centrist kind of news station over here called Talk Radio. I mean, you know, they're a long way off what you know where we're at, but you know they're the best in terms of mainstream media. And there was someone on. I forget. I took a note of her name, who she was, but it's among a pile somewhere. But anyway, apparently 1 in 5 prisoners now in the UK are far-right extremist terrorists. So, you know, the message is that the narrative is that, you know, far-right extremism is hugely on the rise. We've now got 1 in 5 prisoners. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know any terrorist groups who are white supremacist or far-right extreme terrorist groups. I don't know of any. And the host asked her about this as well, and he said, well, you know, we haven't had any attacks, any incidents by far-right extremists. Like, you know, we have genuine Islamic attacks and everything else. And her excuse and reasoning for this is that the intelligence services have been so brilliant that they've foiled all these far-right extremist terrorists. So these far-right extremist terrorists are just useless, basically. They just can't manage to pull off one of these terrorist attacks. But really what's happening is they've just significantly, you know, lowering the threshold and lowering the bar as to what, you know, constitutes and qualifies as a far-right extremist white supremacist terrorist. And that is very dangerous as well, because, you know, I don't know any terrorist groups. And I come from Northern Ireland, so I know what a terrorist is, you know, and I know how a terrorist organization operates. So... These must be, I don't know, I can't see any of it. But alas, 1 in 5 now of the prisoners are in there are far-right extreme terrorists.
I couldn't even believe how many BLM sort of events were going on across the UK and Europe last year as well, Paul. I mean, I was surprised how much, I shouldn't have been surprised as far as, you know, us, of course, being suspicious of outside provocation, you know, funding. But it's still, it's surprising that they tried to get that much of a recoil effect overseas.
Yeah, just at breakneck speed, the institutional racism, you know, sped across the Atlantic and arrived here as well, you know. We had all that nonsense going on last year as well, and it'll kick off again. And you had that whole feminist, thing where that young lady was murdered by a white prisoner. And they're so selective about what they cover and how they cover it. And it's always anti-white, you know.
Yeah, Stephen, did you want to comment on this before we change topics?
Well, I have seen that talk radio that this is kind of to the side of this. I saw a black man over in the UK named Calvin Robinson, I think, and on that particular network you talk. And he was fighting back about someone had told him that he should have these particular political viewpoints just because he was black. You know, that was, I mean, the man was blatant about saying, you're a black man, you need to think this way. And that just demonstrates to me the mindset that these loons have. They call us racist, and you know, we're the least. I wish all races well. I may recognize that we need to be able to flock together, so to speak. I believe in people having a national identity that could be tied to their race. That should be a right for every human being. But I don't wish harm to someone else just because of their race. And these lefty loons, that's all they think about. They were trying to tell this man he had to think one particular way because he was black, and he fought back against the guy. He even walked off of the interview with this BLM type person. I don't remember the name of the person who is accusing him of this, but this, I'd never seen Calvin Robinson before, but he spoke some, I don't know, you know, that's the only viewpoint I know. That's the only time I've seen him, but he spoke some common sense to that. And yeah, it's just more of the same. White genocide is on the way. Just like William said, it's a train coming at us. We got to get off the track. And yeah, go ahead and respond. Do you know more about Mr. Robinson, Paul?
Yeah, I saw a bit of that clip, and it's so typical, because what they do is they bully, they coerce, and they threaten black people into, as you say, taking this particular, you know, political stance and getting on board with the narrative, or else they're somehow race traitors, or they're participating, you know, they are complicit in this racism against black people, and they stir them up all the time, they're constantly stirring them up. And you know, it's a very, very dangerous combination to have the sort of Jewish influence and the sort of perfidious political elites we have and a rising black population. I mean, it's not a comfortable situation, you know. That's a powder keg.
I agree. Here as well, you know, I don't look forward to that, you know, exploding and going off, because it looks like we're going to have another summer of rage or manufactured rage here as well.
Dangerous, you know.
Yep.
And then on the topic, gentlemen, of these shots, you know, this experimental gene therapy operating system. There, I'm always trying to find the best concise way to refer to these accurately. And the
bioweapons. They're bioweapons, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm hearing some interesting recent reports coming in just from the figures they are able to give us, allowed to get out. The Epoch Times had an article claiming 5,800 fully vaccinated Americans have contracted, I'll put in quotes, COVID-19. Well, you know, they've tested positive for a PCR test. Okay, come on, let's be frank. Do they have symptoms even? You know, I want to know all of that. But regardless, 5,800. But we've been hearing all along, the people paying attention in the independent media, that these gene therapies are not going to stop you from being a spreader. They're not going to stop you from even getting it. They're just supposed to lessen the symptoms when you do get it. And so, but it's going to be a surprise to most people, and a lot of them after they already take at least the first shot, that this is not going to be permanent. They're already saying that every 6 months to a year, every year you could need another. But after these first two shots in 6 months, you'll need a third shot already. I just saw some stories coming out where they're at least trying to get that information gradually out to the people more, to condition them. Keep taking these shots, even though there's no point in it. It doesn't change anything, basically, of your circumstances, you know, legally or what we're claiming to you health-wise in a positive way. But, hey, you know, we need to experiment on the general public with no liability. You know, why don't they just come out and say that? Because that's what it really is. I saw, though, another article that was even more bold, and over 10,000 deaths caused by COVID vaccines reported by CDC and EMA, European Medicines Agency. I just saw that one come out. And so that's, that's should be alarming to people, because it's like, come on, if that's just what they're actually reporting, and those are just ones that they couldn't help but have get out, you know, that information for those cases. And that's a big number, you know, 10,000. So how many, if you count what isn't reported, you know, what they're not letting to get out? UK Council, over where you are, Paul, the UK Council's bring back COVID marshal to report people for not social distancing. Now, these people don't have authority, but they can contact police. I don't know. Have you heard of a lot of harassment from this, of people you know?
Well, there has been incidents of it, yeah. I mean, remember the famous one, remember, we were talking about where they stopped a guy jogging because he wasn't wearing a mask or something.
And it was ridiculous that they said that something about, you know, he was breathing too close to other people as he jogged past them. And you know, there's been other incidents, but yeah, that wouldn't surprise me if they bring back more of those types.
But you've been keeping up with economic factors for years, and you can see how this is a big money grab more than anything, what they're pulling off here. I mean, 2008, there was already a consolidation of wealth, but this is really just looting the first world.
It's daylight robbery. You know, people don't, you know, you very rarely hear people, you know, referring to money printing as a tax, but that's exactly what it is. You know, it when they print up the money, it destroys, you know, it diminishes your purchasing power. You know, I think I told you that, you know, I buy organic food when I can. And, you know, for me to buy a bag of organic kale is £1.25. I went up to Tesco the other day. It's now £1.55. And that was quite consistent with, quite a lot of the stuff had gone up.
Fuel prices, too. Food and fuel are rising less.
Yeah, all this money prices. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just
And it's okay. It goes to people. You know, the people closest to the printing machines are the richest, and they've got assets, so, you know, they can, and then they can buy more assets. But normal people who've got, you know, don't have that sort of wealth, they're getting poorer. So you're just having this big, you know, wealth transfer and this gap widening, you know, with all this money printing and what's happening, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a disintegration of the middle class. There's a huge disparity between the middle class and the ultra wealthy. We've had an increase in billionaires even during these lockdowns, for that matter, and in recent years prior. So I mean, it just takes a little bit of shift for most of that middle class to become the working class, to just living month to month, basically. Necessity funds is really all you are able to manage.
I believe the cost of lumber has gone up quite dramatically over there where you guys are as well.
Mm-hmm. And now I just heard the White House dedicated $1.7 billion to tracking COVID mutations across the U.S. So we need more money to go to that, right? PCR testing and tracking mutations, which I failed to. I mean, come on, everything mutates in these family of coronavirus. You know, I mean, the cold is even the seasonal cold is a coronavirus. The seasonal flu is a coronavirus. It mutates every season. Mutations, that word when linked with COVID is supposed to fear us into these shots. I'm sorry, Stephen, go ahead. What were you going to say? We're all over the place with topics here.
That's these quota, I would say, the tracking and maybe even creation of variants and mutations, because this thing, it's so suspicious. I don't know what to believe. It's easy to find that we've been lied to about everything, but finding out exactly what the truth is very difficult, as when it comes to a lot of people think that, oh, this COVID doesn't exist at all. But I tend to think that, no, it does. It's just been, you know, ramped up and hyped and it fits their agenda. They do plan. I remember Gates and he was just squirming. He was so gleeful thinking about the pandemic number two, he called it, that this next one is going to get your attention. I remember, I think it was, maybe it was Fareed Zakaria who was interviewing him when he said this, but it was creepy because he said he said a terrorist would release some bioweapon was what he said then. He didn't mention that he is the terrorist, and that that I expect to come sometime, and I don't know what it would be. Will they release some other virus, or are these shots that they are big giving us, are they so deadly in the long run that that's what's going to really get people, and then they'll claim that it's some, you know, new variant or new mutation? Because
the deaths will be attributed to variants of COVID, not the shots, you know. So
right,
even though from these shots.
Even though these shots, since this is what's called a leaky vaccine, all of them, as far as I've been able to determine, that they've developed are that type of product, that you will get the shot, and then that shot will protect you from the symptoms of the disease if you catch it, but it won't stop you catching the disease, recreating the virus, and spreading it, as well as mutating it. So all of these mutations could be coming from that. And we would never know. They find some new mutation, but they don't reveal that, hey, it was a vaccinated individual or a person who's had this treatment. I try to avoid the word vaccine too, but that it was someone who's had this treatment that created that mutation and wouldn't have probably if they hadn't had the shot. So, it's diabolical. Yeah.
I'm going to try to skip the, I'm going to try to skip the final break of this hour to give us some more time to talk. Like a healthy 43-year-old man, for example, we just hear experiences a blood clot, left paralyzed on one side and unable to talk after the COVID-19 shot. And so, we're hearing a lot of cases within seconds or minutes, but of course, many within weeks, which it's going to be very hard to prove. And then, of course, years, they're saying that you're shaving years off your life, no matter what age group. Most likely you could die in 2 to 3 years if you're in the elderly category and get these shots. William, you were about to speak, and you've been doing a lot of research on this agenda, the depopulation and everything involved with the. You wanted to speak on the shots?
Yeah, it's just the plethora of points coming together here. Just on the last point Stephen was making, I do think that people will become, basically, after taking the shots, this genetic gene-altering therapy, this unprecedented and untested gene-altering therapy that people are just willingly going along with and taking just because, the news says so, is going to turn people into COVID variant-shedding factories. And it's going to make them more toxic to the people who haven't taken the vaccine. So the advice there, I think, is to make sure that you're in good health and that you're eating well and that you're taking supplements and that you are that you're maintaining your health and getting exercise and whatnot. But also, as far as like whether this is real or not, from what I've heard in the documentary Plandemic, which was a great documentary, they were discussing how it was first being developed, I think, by some three-letter, I don't remember which, but it was Anthony Fauci's money, and what he was invested in the development of this, of the in patenting. I think the CDC was involved, the National Institute of Health, back in 2014, developing the COVID variant, with coronavirus being, just a regular cold. Right. And then developing a variant of the regular cold, and the heat started to come on them from law, and they had to farm it out to China. And so, so China took it over and started developing at the same time. We know that it's, the United States and China, it's the Jew behind all of it. Right. So they just move their operations over to some other country and start working on it there. That's why all these agents of the exact same thing pop up in every country everywhere. And so it's confusing. I don't know whether they deployed something real or not, because it hasn't even been isolated yet. Right. So they aren't even able to produce proof that this, the virus has been purified and isolated, which is what is needed for, it to be, actually a legitimate, virus. Right. And then there's also, that viruses, there's the science that the viruses are all a hoax in the first place, that they're, there's that possibility. I don't know, but I've heard different doctors talk about you can't spread viruses through the airborne, so it's a lot to try to decipher, but I have absolutely no fear of this COVID because I believe in my immune system. I trust in God. I pray. And I feel the power of that in my life, and I don't get sick, and I'm never going to get sick from this, and I'm never going to take any vaccine ever again, any vaccine, because I don't trust them at all now. I mean, this has really had a made me look deep into any of this. I don't even believe in Western medicine so much anymore. If you break your leg, you're going to need to go to the hospital, but Lorraine Day is a good person to listen to. She's talked about how she cured herself of cancer. She was actually a doctor at San Francisco General Hospital. She is very credentialed, very credible. And she is fully red-pilled on everything about the Jew and everything. So, that's my two bits.
Okay. Stephen, Paul, who'd like to pick up from there?
Yeah, go ahead, Stephen.
Okay. Well, yeah, the thing about the viruses being not transmitted, there needs to be research done into this. But if the scientific institutions that we have were legitimate and were actually for the public good, then they would be doing research into this so we could learn more. But they ignore things like that. Anything that goes against the profit of the big pharma and Western medicine is suppressed. They use money. Instead of science, we have science with a dollar sign for the first letter. You know, anything that they want to come out, then they will fund that research. And if they get a contradictory result, then they pull the funding. And so we never know what the truth is. It's very difficult to find out. I've read some of those theories about the exosomes and that viruses are, you know, produced by your body naturally and shed when you're in stress or you need to get rid of toxic material. You know, the one thing I think about that is that I see things go through a daycare center here. If one kid has a cold in the daycare before the end of the week, seems like the whole place has it. So there's that anecdotal evidence, but you know, there's no real scientific study of this to find out if that's what happens. They just look for the new drug, the new vaccine, whatever they can make profit off of. That's definitely the motive of Western medicine. I got to agree with you there. I remember an article, I think it was in Bloomberg last year, where they were saying, can we afford to cure people? This person was talking about how hepatitis C had been pretty much cured with an effective treatment, and that, you know, they don't have a customer base anymore. They have eliminated their customer base, and that was just not, you know, going to keep a viable business. And that's the point of view that they have. It's all changed in 1973 when this Kaiser Permanente bill was passed that started HMOs and let those things be for profit. Before that, hospitals, you know, they were nonprofit organizations serving the public trust. We need to bring that back. If we brought that back, this would never happen. You know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, because cancer treatment is about just that. It's not about curing cancer.
Exactly.
They don't want to know about any of those successful methods which exist out there. They're about treating it indefinitely. And I mean, just like the model with software companies, so it's no surprise. I mean, Bill Gates had so many factors which made him want to naturally progress to the vaccines, keep you always having to come back for an update, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And of course, he couldn't keep the funny joke on the side. He couldn't keep vaccines out of the software programs, but of course, he didn't want to. You know, that it makes more money for everyone if you have those in there and you need the updates more. Because of that, but also, I mean, the profit and the depopulation, so many factors that made vaccines appealing to Gates. We'll be right back in the second hour, folks. Stick around.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.